This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And it's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Let's talk about a new invention, because Matt, someone invented a bus? Is that it?
Someone always invents a bus. Every 2 minutes, it seems like someone invents a bus. No, this is a story about a town in Canada.
Ontario.
Yes. Is Ontario in Canada? Okay, I'm just showing my ignorance there on the radio. I just had like a blind spot for a second. No, but a few years ago, they turned their public transport system over to Uber because it's kind of a rural town. Yeah. It's very spread out. It's, you know, built in that kind of classic North American suburban style. So there's a lot of sprawl.
Yeah.
So they were finding it very expensive to run any kind of efficient public transport system.
Yeah, apparently this person that they interviewed was, you know, had to walk to the mall and would normally take about 3 hours. Taxi is obviously faster, but it's a lot expensive. That's why they relied on, you know, ride-hailing services.
Yeah, and it's kind of a good idea to a degree, because you can turn to a company to actually provide these services,
yeah,
and it also provides income that goes back into the local community. So there's kind of a circular flow of income to a certain degree there. However, a lot of people have kind of questioned the wisdom of going to one of the big monopolies like Uber and giving their kind of public transport network over to these private corporations. Mm.
But what's the problem with buses, though? Like, why haven't we, you know, I know it's cliche as it sounds, why haven't we reinvent the bus? Because the bus is actually the one that's going to solve this kind of last mile commute. And, you know, I'm sure there is a way that we can look at buses and find some ways where technology could help instead of relying on these kind of monopolies to solve it.
I mean, I think there's a way to actually integrate the two so that, you know, you have your bus or mass rapid transit network that serves all the kind of major destinations and pickup points. And then you can have these kind of private services. We could even call them taxi companies for want of a revolutionary term, that actually then help people get to these kind of hub and spoke operations. Mm. And that's how public transport has always worked in the past. And it's worked reasonably well.
Yeah.
When we give it over to companies like Uber, as again, this town has found, because public transport, it tends, you know, you have a kind of fixed cost for it. You know how many services you're running, you know what it's going to cost you. With a service like this, the more people actually use the public transport network with a company like Uber, because the town is actually subsidizing every ride that its citizens make. So the more people use it, the more it costs the town. So actually, the town has gone over its transport budget. So it's actually a victim of a success of the scheme. And they've had to put prices up. They're looking at ways to limit the number of rides that people can take. So, for example, I think the guy you were talking about who used to have to walk to the mall, he runs out of his subsidized rides.
So you only got the limited rides.
Month. Yeah, so he can only get through the first couple of weeks. So it doesn't look as though it's kind of a scalable system. But the interesting thing about the article is that it ends with saying that they are looking at developing with Uber a system of buses. And you just think, then why didn't you just stick with your original buses? Why have you gone full circle and gone to this private company to develop something that you already had?
Mm.
You know, a lot of the way we kind of approach public transport now is a bit kind of nonsensical. We assume that these companies have the answer, because there's no reason why a town like this couldn't replicate what Uber does.
Yeah.
There's no reason it couldn't engage drivers, private hire drivers, put them on fixed contracts, have them driving certain numbers of hours or whatever. And of course, that would probably be cheaper for them because they wouldn't be paying a commission to a private company.
Mm.
They could afford to pass on more of the costs to the drivers operating the service as well. So again, the benefits would stay in the community. You would have the town council paying for this Uber-like service with local drivers, but all of that money remains within the community.
But even the idea at the end where, you know, maybe they perhaps they could do an Uber bus. It's a fixed service on a fixed route, just like normal city buses. I'm like, why don't just you do a bus? Because a bus makes total sense. If you, you know, for... Of course, the last mile has an issue. It's not just in this city in Canada.
No, everywhere in the world.
Everywhere in the world has a problem. And we've all relied on some form of ride-hailing app to solve that issue. But we've seen it even here in Malaysia recently. You know, they had the whole PSV licensing. So a lot of people were stuck in MRTs because they can't book a ride 30 minutes before because they're on their trains and they haven't got to their destination yet. So it was difficult for people on like the MRT stations trying to get to their destination using these ride-hailing apps. So buses would have just solved. No, and you get less cars on the road with buses.
That's the thing. I mean, one of the things they've pointed out is that, or critics have pointed out, is that for a small community, a rural community, this system might work. But for a large city, it wouldn't, because to meet the needs of very dense populations, you would need an incredible number of cars. And we've already seen a marked increase of traffic in a lot of the world's major cities as a result of ride-hailing apps and various services and delivery system. You know, all of these on-demand systems for whatever product that, or service that we're trying to do. So we have to look at ways to reduce this, because one, there's the congestion issue, there's the pollution issue as well. We have to get these vehicles off the roads, especially at peak times, because, you know, adding to congestion at precisely the times that you want to take vehicles away from the roads.
Yeah.
And as you said, buses, trains, I mean, even at this point, flying drones would probably be a better solution than more cars on the road.
Yeah, definitely. I don't like the way that, you know, the future is going in the reliance of these kind of services, because I think the traditional way of, you know, buses and trains, they work perfectly fine. Just someone reinvent these kind of systems.
Well, do you remember that story we covered? It was a few months ago, and it was about how some of these vehicles could be transformed into hotel rooms.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you couldn't find a hotel room or you don't have a permanent address, you can hire basically a car you can sleep in that will drive around for the entire night. So, you know, you live on the road. I don't know. I just think it's absolutely daft.
Well, we have something that's, again, absolutely daft for King of Culture that's coming up after this, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And we're back. It is King of Culture time. And let us warn you that this isn't a joke. It's actually a real thing. It's actually happening. And despite, you know, people actually thinking that, hey, is this a hoax at first? But now it's gathered like 1.5 million attendees.
Yeah, this is...
And you're invited, Matt.
I am invited, and I invited Jeff. This is called Storm Area 51. Now, you might have seen over the past couple of weeks, Area 51 flooding your Twitter or your Facebook streams, your news feeds, or certainly Instagram. If you haven't had a look, have a look for those hashtags. There's some really fantastic memes. But the idea is that so that we can find out the truth about what's happened at Area 51.
UFO secrets.
Yes, UFO secrets. We will all gather in the desert outside Area 51 on the 20th of September. And if there are enough people, it will be impossible for the military to stop everyone as they do, what's it called? Anyway, you're supposed to do some kind of anime-inspired run towards the...
The Naruto run.
Naruto run, yes.
Yeah, the one with your hands behind your body.
Your hands behind your body, yeah. Well, presumably it gives you a bit more slipstreaming and makes you a smaller target for the military.
It's difficult for the military radar to scan you then, yeah.
Now, obviously, this is largely silly.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure that some people will actually turn up for this on the 20th of September, but the reaction from police departments and the US military has been to take it rather seriously. And also from certain parts of the media, they're taking it as though this is really going to be an invasion.
You never know. Well, storming Area 51 is a crime in some degree.
Well, to a large degree, because it's a closed off military base. So it's entirely a crime. But yeah, I mean, there's no way. I mean, as I said, there are around 1.5 million people who've said that they're going to go, even if, you know, a few tens of thousands of people try and turn up on the day.
Yeah.
There are not many routes out into this part of the desert. It will be quite easy to close off the roads. There aren't going to be enough places for people to stay.
Yeah,
I don't think this is really going to be a major threat to US security. In fact, some commentators have mentioned that there are some ICE detention camps for immigrants within these same areas and that these guys would be better off spending their time trying to liberate those camps than looking for aliens inside Area 51. Because we know what they're going to find when they get there. They're going to find some empty hangars, some very bored-looking airmen, and
they'll make something up.
I know. The most alien thing they're going to find is probably a Twinkie from the 1960s.
Yeah, they'll make something up. But go online and just search for the Storm Area 51 memes, because they're absolutely incredible.
So some of them are really, really funny. There's and as usual, they've taken other memes and just substituted things. So there's one where there's this lady staring at the camera and she gets hit in the face with a door. But now it's an alien that comes through the door. So there's all these kind of things. I've even added to it as well. My alien face is now up on Instagram. So if you search for Area 51, you might even find that.
All right. Now on to some PSA news. Apparently, though, streaming or viewing online videos generate about 300 million tons of carbon dioxide a year. Or that's nearly 1% of global emissions. So our advice to you is to stop streaming online video content, because it is absolutely dangerous to the greenhouse emission. And on-demand services such as Netflix account for a third of this. And interestingly, though, adult videos generating another third.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is, you know, we've talked about the kind of energy that these giant server farms consume before. Mm. And, you know, one of the reasons that often they get put in cold climates like Iceland or, you know, Scandinavian countries is because they consume less energy there. You need less energy to keep them going. And of course, countries like Iceland have geothermic energy, which can help to power them as well. But this is quite an astonishing figure. I mean, we talk about the impact that things like air travel have on the environment. But when you think that something as simple as sitting there watching Area 51 memes on your computer is actually contributing up to 1% of the world's emissions. Mm. That is quite an astonishing thing.
So apparently, like, you know, the adult videos content, they generate as much as CO2 per year as countries as Belgium, Bangladesh, and Nigeria. And that's a scary amount of degree. But it's only going to get worse, because the article also mentioned about the 8K videos and 8K resolutions. That's going to come in. And then you've got gaming streaming services like Google Stadia, and I know Microsoft and Sony are also looking at into, you know, the next generation of gaming, which is cloud gaming, and that's just going to increase.
And not just that. I mean, when we talk about like the augmented reality apps that are coming through, and all the virtual reality technologies as well, we're looking at making a colossal amount of our greenhouse impact just from the technology we use when we're sitting at our desks.
Yeah,
and I mean, I said it before, that is kind of an astonishing figure, but it's also something that we have to get to grips with. You know, do you have to watch that video? Especially as a lot of us, and I'm really guilty of this, if I'm sitting at home and I'm, you know, just doing some work in the evening, I've got Netflix playing in the background, usually something that
Netflix
I've watched
watching
before.
You.
Yeah. No, but, you know, I go back and put on things that I've seen before and just catch little bits of it. You don't think of the impact that that's having from an environmental standpoint when you're just watching the Big Bang Theory over again, which is what we're doing at the moment, all 865,000 episodes of it.
And now it's time for your TM1 Tech Minute. In the future, every company will be a technology company. Selling smart clothing or letting your customers order lunch in the cloud won't automatically make you a data security expert. Data security is more than just locking the back door to keep the hackers out. It's ensuring that information doesn't leak from unsecured networks, that there are bridges that allows information to flow securely from one system to the next, and that you never have to rely on an outmoded or vulnerable legacy system. To compete, many SMEs will look to share the costs and scale of running these systems, relying on solutions providers like TM1 to design their networks that will secure their future. TM1 Security Services, with their twin core data center, certified for threat, vulnerabilities, and risk assessments, as well as payment card industry data security standards. And that was your TM1 Tech Minute for Geek Tunes. What do we have? Space theme, I presume?
Well, 50 years of the moon landing. So I wanted to keep to a space theme, but without going to, you know, one of those cliched songs like Walking on the Moon, The Police, and all that kind of thing.
Rockin'
Man. Yeah, exactly. So this is one of my favorite tracks. This is a kind of early 90s tracks. Mm. This is Soda Jerk by Buffalo Tom.
BFM 89.9.
Tech Talk, made possible by TM1. To learn more, visit tm1.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.